That's not an English word.
I think you'll find it is.
No.
Can you guess who's coming to dinner?
Who is the lead singer of the Rolling Stones? Don't look at me. Someone have a guess, please. Come on. Dive in, as you say.
Dive in.
Guess who's coming to dinner?
I think you're an idiot. I'm thinking about you all the time. Every single second of the day I think about you. So why aren't you having dreams about me?
Oh, Kyle, but I do have dreams about you.
I knew it. Everybody does.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to FM 103.3 to GCR, the voice of Goulburn. And the show you're listening to is Guess Who's Coming to Dinner with me, Kieran, the host with the most, and Kyle.
Hey, hey.
How's it going, Kyle?
Good, good. How are you, Kieran?
And Maddie D on the side.
Hey.
Maddie D, the PR agent, Kyle, the producer.
And
And our sexy new theme song, or opening number, I suppose. Don't you love it?
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yeah,
I'm still bopping along to it.
Yeah. It's totally thrown me off.
Yeah.
We had a bit of an awkward start, so wasn't ready to start there, but it's all good now.
We're
can recover.
Now.
We just had Mikey on. It was good to hear Mikey on the air again for another week. And he's gone now. And anyway, this evening we are totally mixing up the show.
Mm-hmm.
And later on in the show, we're going to find out why
just
I was following around
really
transvestites
are.
In Oxford Street while Kai was dressing as a sex offender in at a party, and why Matty D was being Matty D. This will all come later in the show. We will have a competition later in the show, regular segments, but with a little bit of a twist this evening.
Yes.
That's right. We are mixing the show up. We thought, it's getting a little samey, so why invent new segments when we can just have our old segments, but with a twist? So we are taking over each other's segments for this evening.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm hoping it works.
We'll see how this goes.
And the three of us together make the good, the bad, and the Kieran with our own bit of music.
The good.
The bad.
And the Kieran. And I was thinking, you know, why not go a little retro today and have a good old 8-bit Good, the Bad, and the Kieran.
Well, you really had fun recording stuff today, didn't you?
I really did. I was sitting in the Kieran studio all day, sitting down, mixing levels.
Kieran studio that
even we haven't seen the Kieran studio.
No. Apparently, I hear it's a rumor that...
Sorry, your mic was down low.
Yeah, thank you. I could hear myself. That's always scary. They need to go down in like poles, like entering the Batcave.
That's absolutely right. And there goes a train.
Yeah, and there goes a train.
Hi, train.
Bye, train.
Yeah. Anyway, if only... I say studio, but I just sit in a room with my laptop.
No, don't underestimate it, Kieran.
No, definitely
don't downplay
not.
It, I should say.
Don't say that. Don't be modest.
But anyway, the theme of tonight's broadcast is 70s and 80s rock/metal. We used to do this on the old show occasionally. But we haven't done it on this show, so why not? We asked for a few requests, and people have sent some in, and I'll try and hopefully get to all of them, but I am taking the music from my own personal collection, so it really is a stretch if I have it or the computer has it, so I can't
take all of them. So I'm guessing it'd have to be good music then.
Well, I can't claim to only listen to good music, but I like to keep my tastes broad as far as the 70s and 80s are concerned. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how we go this evening. But we'll be back shortly with our regular segments and the weather. And I think Patricia Stormare is coming back this week.
I heard Patricia Stormare is back.
Yeah, it's nice. And it will be nice to see her again. Mm-hmm. But Carl's mum, when I put out the call for 70s and 80s rock/metal, Carl's mum sent in a request for Don McLean's American Pie. Goulburn Community Radio 2GCR, the voice of Goulburn. And one of those voices is Kyle, who you might have heard him struggling around there in the background.
The show could also be called Kyle Falling Over.
Did you fall over?
I'm sure my weekends could be called that. But no, I did not fall over.
As we mentioned before, we are mixing it up. We are mixing up the format this evening.
Very exciting.
And one of those things that's going to change this evening is Kyle is going to present the news. Usually we do wacky news and I present it, being the host and all. But tonight it's Kyle. Are you ready for it?
I
have your own wacky news.
You get to be the news guy.
All right.
I have your own wacky news.
Lay it on me.
You ready? And I'll do a little intro in about 10 seconds in.
This
can start.
This is really exciting, actually.
You ready?
Mm-hmm.
So
looks
just wait
to
about.
Spin.
Wait about 10 seconds and then you can start.
Okay.
Where's
this wacky intro?
Here it comes. And now, guess who's coming to dinner? Wacky news with Kyle.
The top stories. Sweet revenge. Carl Weininger buys world's most expensive dessert after being dumped.
What was his name?
Carl Weininger.
Carl Weininger.
Weininger. Weininger. All right. And the story is diamond merchant Carl Weininger. Weininger. 60 splashed out on the extravagant pudding as a pick-me-up after his wife or girlfriend ended their three-year relationship. And you gotta love this. The chocolate-laced pudding was styled like a Fabergé egg, and its list of ingredients...
Yeah, I'm getting hungry now.
Yeah, its list of ingredients included edible gold, champagne, and caviar. I don't know about you guys, but
gold.
Caviar
and chocolate
in a dessert. In a dessert.
In a caviar in a dessert.
You wait until you find out how much it costs. It contained...
So he had gold in there.
Mm-hmm. It contained a gold bracelet and spoon set, and the cherry on top was a 2-carat diamond.
So he ate the diamond.
Sounds like. Weininger took the pudding to the aviator's ball at the Sofitel Hotel at London's Heathrow Airport, where lucky guests sampled the luxury dessert. Each mouthful costs around $1,200.
Oh, wow.
And the whole dessert took...
Want a spoonful of this?
Yeah.
Cha-ching, cha-ching,
chocolate
cha-ching.
Chocolate and caviar and gold. It's my favourite.
Imagine if the diamond was actually an engagement ring.
It was gone in 15 minutes, according to this.
Must have been good.
Weininger from Rugby, Warwickshire, said he bought the pudding to cheer himself up.
And then gave it away to all these randoms.
So, yeah, No. They paid him $1,200 for each spoonful.
I'd be happy with that.
Wow.
He said he bought the dessert because it was a real boost for his morale. Mm. So your wife, your girlfriend of 3 years dumps you, so you spend $34,000 on a dessert.
Well, you don't have your wife anymore to steal your money.
Well, that's kind of an interesting spin on the whole, ice cream and crying.
He waited a while to actually do this. He said, I was dumped earlier this year, and I thought that
he's probably saving up the money for this extravagant dessert.
I got a new mortgage on my house, and I sold my car, and I bought a dessert.
Which
he
I
said
gave
it
away.
Could be a decent pick-me-up. I'm not much of a chocolate lover myself, but all the women who tasted it said, wow,
now
it was absolutely
the
delicious, as you would expect. The pudding's maker is expecting to be recognized by Guinness World Records, having smashed the previous record, I love this, which was a mere $18,000.
Oh, yeah.
That's a cheap dessert.
No,
pitiful.
You know what? I could get a bracelet and ice cream and chocolate coating, throw it in with some fish eggs and say it's worth $34,000.
Yeah, true.
Style it like an egg and bam, I've got a great dessert. And it could really pick up the ladies, according to this guy.
Yeah, and your spirits.
couldn't afford spirits after buying that. The next one is one of my favorites, just because of the way that it was written.
Okay.
World's most expensive tea grown in... All right, guess. Where do you reckon it's grown, guess?
Unpronounceable.
Sri Lanka.
No.
Sri Lanka.
It's not a country, it's a thing.
Oh, grown in. I shudder
to think. A bathtub full of diamonds. A gold bathtub full of diamonds.
Oh, inside Kyle.
I wish. Ooh. Panda poop.
Oh, wow.
World's most expensive tea in panda poop.
Okay. That real nutty bamboo flavouring that you wanted flavor. Your tea. Panda poop's
it's,
finest
it's
tea.
Set out at the start in dot points and it says, dot one, world's most expensive tea costs $34,000 for 500 grams.
And it's
dot
grown
two,
in a pile of poo.
The secret ingredient, panda poop. 11 tons of it.
Wow.
And then, my favourite one's
Isn't
the bottom.
Isn't there enough pandas in the world to produce that?
I know, I'm pretty sure they're all endangered.
They've been collecting for a while. The guy who actually did it, at a press conference, he dressed up like a panda. So I hope he didn't follow through with making the tea. But my favourite one's the bottom point, where it says, panda poop, drink it in. Chinese entrepreneur An Yanshi is convinced...
Yeah, now you know how it feels, huh?
Yeah, is convinced he found the key ingredient to produce the world's most expensive, or in my opinion, disgusting tea, panda poop. I'm getting sick of saying that. And he was a former calligraphy teacher. He purchased 11 tons of excrement from a panda breeding centre to fertilise a tea crop in the mountains of Sichuan province in southwestern China, home to the black and white bears.
So he's like, you know what?
I'm going to buy
some people spend extravagant amounts of money on desserts.
Desserts, yeah.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get a whole lot of poo. I find it hard to say not another word. A whole lot of poo.
And put some tea in it
so I can drink it.
It's a great idea.
I'm going to drop my job as a calligraphy teacher and I'm going to try panda poop palming instead. Arn says he will harvest the first batch of tea leaves this spring. He hasn't even tasted it. And it will be the world's most expensive tea at... Oh, God, how do you pronounce that?
It's tough, isn't it?
$34,000 for 500 grams.
Oh, yeah. That's two desserts.
Yeah, I know. Chinese tea drinkers regard the first batch of tea to be harvested in the early spring as the best and most successive... Successive batches regarded as inferior. This doesn't even write properly. Did I write this? And it will sell for $34,000. The 41-year-old who is so passionate about his new project, he dressed in a panda suit for his interview with AFP.
And demonstrated the making of the tea.
Yeah,
as you suggested, he's like, all right.
He was a calligraphy teacher. He should be breaking down
after his calligraphy practices.
And he has been ridiculed by some in China for his extravagant claims of the potential health benefits of panda poop tea.
Drink excrement, feel great.
The health thing is that they don't kill as many pandas as they once did.
But he insists he is deadly serious, saying he quit his job at the university to throw himself heart and soul into his new company, Panda Tea, whose logo features a smiling panda
on a toilet
wearing a bow tie holding a steaming glass of green tea. While Arn hopes to make money from the tea, which he has planted on just over 2.5 acres of land, his main mission is to convince the world to protect the environment and replace chemical fertilizers with animal feces. And then at the end, before it's too late. Panda dung is rich in nutrition and should be much better than chemical fertilizers, Mr. Arn said. People should make a harmonious relationship with heaven, earth, and the environment. By dropping your expensive and high-paying job at the university to throw yourself into panda poo.
Yeah, and tea.
Do you want to hear one more?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
As good as the last two.
Python Atomic Betty faces the scales.
That's right, I heard about this.
When Betty hit 135 kilograms, it was a sign she needed to start watching her weight. And she was put on a strict diet of only a few goats a year. That's around the same as me.
Yeah.
So keepers at the Australian Reptile Park...
Now, to be fair, snakes only eat, like, once, like, a month, isn't it? They eat something massive. They have, like, a goat or something.
And then it sits in there and digests for such a long time.
Yeah. So who are they to say that a snake is fat? Because it can, like... It has a whole other animal
in it.
I
know.
Until it breaks down.
What's 135 kilos between friends?
Between a goat and a snake.
Atomic Betty, the longest species of snake in the world and believed to be the biggest in Australia, had staff in... Oh, here we go. The puns have started.
Okay. Right.
I'm glad we missed panda poo puns.
Yeah, true.
Had staff in hysterics as they tried to bag her for her annual weigh-in. It took six keepers half an hour to bag the park's biggest catch and potential man-eater. I thought that was a given. When they finally got the 6.5-meter snake to the... scales. It was revealed she had put on 2 kilos since the last year.
Wow.
Snake is nearly 7 meters long, and they're concerned that she put on 2 kilos
of weight. If she had an emotional backstory, they could put her on The Biggest Loser.
Yeah, true.
Eat the other contestants. Tim Faulkner, the park's operations manager, said it was no mean feat to get Betty, who has the ability to crush a person to death and swallow them whole out of her glass and glow. Oh, this is fun. The scary thing is that she has the ability to crush us, Mr. Faulkner.
She's got quite a crush on you.
My fans have a crush on you.
I'm glad they didn't say that.
Oh, yeah.
You've got a second to grab a head, because as we go down, they've got extremely good vision and she is going to strike.
Wow.
Wow.
Raunchy.
Mr. Faulkner said Betty's favourite food was goat.
Ooh.
I'm glad they've been able to have this conversation and establish what her favourite food was, because I just thought snakes ate anything.
Boars.
What's your favourite food, Betty?
They threw the monkey in there and she just turned her nose up at it. She said, "I want a goat." She didn't grow a lot, and that's because we actually stopped her from consuming as much food.
We stopped putting goats in the enclosure.
It sounds like Jurassic Park.
It does. Is there any other puns in there?
I'm looking for one. This year, she only had about 3 or 4 goats, as opposed to maybe 10.
because she was getting a little bit too round rather than getting longer. Huh. So it's like, Betty, there's no easy way to say this, but you're getting kind of fat.
Huh. Betty, how do you tell a snake that it's fat?
Without
being hissing at you.
He looks at all the other snakes and...
Betty usually swallows a goat in about an hour, though it takes a week to digest. Mm. And she was imported from the US in 2001 and is expected to grow another meter in 7 years. If she's expected to grow another meter, why are they concerned that she's getting fatter?
Yeah, true. Her weight is off the scales.
Oh.
You already made that joke. I just wanted
and
to use that.
And just to reiterate their point at the bottom, the constrictor is non-venomous. But is a man-eater and strong enough to swallow a human whole.
Whoa, here she comes. Watch out, goat, she'll chew you up. Whoa, here she comes. She's a man-eater.
Now they're calling her Fat Betty, not Atomic Betty.
That is quite a meal you're preparing there from those stories. You can have a turducken. Well, it's not really a turducken, it's a goat snaken.
a goat snaken.
So imagine that, a caviar
chocolate gold egg.
For dessert, for dinner, a snake with a goat inside it. Maybe you can put, like, I don't know, a chicken inside the goat.
And just before you go to bed, read your favorite book
and
have some panda poop tea.
Yeah, that'd be. It's a great little feast you got prepared.
This is wacky food.
Very, very food orientated there, Carl.
Yes, this has been Guess Who's Coming to Dinner News with Kyle.
That wasn't so bad.
And that was great.
How'd you find it?
Being the news guy. It was different, you know? It was a different experience.
And now here's Patricia Stormare with the weather.
Hello, this is Patricia Stormare here. The current temperature is 21 degrees
Celsius. 21.23 degrees Celsius.
Tomorrow, and it is a mostly sunny day. Tomorrow, it'll be a maximum of 27 degrees and a minimum of 13 degrees. And this has been Patricia Stormare. Maybe next week, unless I'm replaced again. Goodbye.
Thanks, Patricia. It's nice to have you back, Patricia.
I noticed her accent changed a little.
Yeah, your voice sort of dropped down, and it's a lot different from the last Patricia Storm.
Oh, she walked out.
Oh, she's left already?
She's left in a huff. Sorry, Patricia. I was kidding! I was only kidding!
She's taken it pretty hard that no one, you know, that she's
that
been,
we had her in
that
had
taken so long. That's taken so long for her to do the weather because you know it's the highlight of her week.
Well, she was sick 1 week and then we just never bothered to call her.
Yeah, she knows she had a broken leg.
She's been
as well.
Heavily drinking.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
I wonder her voice dropped down.
Not good.
poor girl.
Poor thing.
We should look after our weather girl a little better in the future.
It's not our fault.
No, it's Patricia's fault.
Exactly. But I didn't mean that.
She's already gone. She's on the train. You can hear her leaving on the train.
You were so mean to Patricia, Carl.
Oh, God. She stopped. She gave me the look. You know, Patricia gave me
the
look.
I bet she did.
And you didn't dive in.
Figures.
But it's not Love Tips with Matty D.
This is a continual pattern, Carl.
Right now, it is time for... It'd usually be Lifestyles with Carl, but for this week, we're mixing it up because we're crazy like that.
It's better.
It's Lifestyles with Matty D. That's right. Usually Carl answers lifestyle questions, but this week it's Matty D himself,
the
romance guru, answering all your burning lifestyle questions.
You're going to get a positive answer to all your burning questions.
I'm loving this music right now.
This is great.
It's very man about the house.
Just don't tell them to dive in this time.
That's going to be the answers for everything.
Don't get too cynical either.
It really
brings it out.
Shut up, you little
all right.
twit.
So, big surprise to everyone.
Like the trunch ball.
Yeah. Well, that's what you do every week. It's like...
Lifestyles with Matty D. All right.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Here is a question. I was wondering what people thought about women with a pear-shaped body type. I've always been a little self-conscious about my body shape. I have rather broad hips. So, what are your thoughts on this kind of body shape? Do you find it attractive or unappealing, etc.?
Me, personally?
Yeah, definitely.
Pear-shaped. So, that means, like, really wide hips?
Pear shape. Think of a woman, put her legs and arms on her head.
Not particularly, but I know a lot of guys that do. So, you know, there's hope out there everywhere. I know actually a lot of guys that like that.
Well, wouldn't you?
Not me personally.
I mean, it's not Lifestyles with Kieran.
Not this
week anyway.
I like pears. I like the fruit. I really like them, but okay. Pear-shaped, not particularly.
So you're not into pear-shaped. But wouldn't you argue that pear shape is a more natural shape, a natural
I'd
body
say,
shape
I,
for
I
a
guess
woman?
You could. Yeah, maybe. You could. Maybe a little pear shape is cool.
A thin pear.
Thin pear.
All right, there we go. That was pretty easy. Another question.
Turn it up a notch.
What happened to psychedelic rock? What happens to its decline in popularity? I rarely hear anybody talk about the genre. I'm aware neo-psychedelia is out there or whatever, but still. Matty D? Psychedelic rock.
I think it is. It's still there, but it just really sucks and the hipsters have taken over it.
Well, I haven't heard much hipster psychedelic rock, to be honest.
Scapegoat the hipsters. I hate them as much as you do. They're not the answer to everything.
I think psychedelic rock, there's sort of like music that's sort of psychedelic if it's not totally rock that still exists. Mm-hmm. You know, like the drug music that... You know, that's running around. Yeah, so I think it's sort of evolved into that.
So what you're saying is that psychedelic rock has disappeared because of the lack of drugs in the music industry?
No, what?
I think that's
I'm saying it's changed through the more amount of drugs in the music industry.
Those musicians should just dive into the drug paraphernalia.
Oh, absolutely.
Bring back psychedelic rock.
More acid.
Hey, Lifestyles and Matty D here. I think psychedelic music still exists.
Really?
Yeah.
I have got a few current psychedelic albums, but they're nothing like how they used to be in
what
the 60s
and
70s.
Like, no tell way. Me a psychedelic band. What's
Pink
psychedelic?
Floyd.
Psychedelic?
Yeah, that's what they classified as.
I thought they were classified as progressive rock.
Well, they were psychedelic before they were progressive.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Look it up on Wikipedia.
It never lies.
I'm sure there's other bands, but I can't think of any off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Just that really sort of spacey sort of synth sound. You right there? All right. I know it's not Lifestyles with Kyle this week, but okay, here's one. Okay, this sounds a little bit like a love tip question, but it's not really.
All right.
There's this girl at my college. She's hot, redheaded, and extremely nice and kind to me. I think I have a crush on her. I see her around, and she's also at this math tutoring center, which I sometimes go to, even if I don't need help. Would it be okay if I secretly took some high-quality pictures of her and even videotape her with my iPhone? Videotape on iPhone without her knowing, so I could have some nice pictures and videos for my own personal satisfaction.
And this is stalking tips with Matty D.
Is it illegal?
No. Yes, it's illegal. My God, it is illegal. No, that is not
illegal. He ought to know. He's been caught before.
This is why Facebook was invented.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly true, Kieran. Do you know, actually, I have a story like that. I had a friend who was on a train. And she was, and this guy actually just came up to her and just goes, "You look so much like a friend of mine," and then took out his phone and took a picture of her and then sent it across. That's the end of my story, but I thought that was really weird. And she didn't
He didn't even ask. He just got his phone out and went click.
He pretty much said, "I'm going to take a photo of you to show my friend."
Wow.
So that photo of her is
all over the internet now.
Yeah.
Her face is
she
on
should,
cat's
She should have been wearing clothes,
now.
I guess, but you know.
Now we have some from online.
Oh, cool.
Now this is obviously directed at Kyle, but this week it's asking to Matt. This is, okay, how do I deal with a friend who is completely uncompromising without hurting her feelings? That sounds like a very direct question if you ask me.
I mean, what?
I'm asking Matty D. Lifestyles with Matty D.
So how do you deal with someone who is uncompromising?
Is this a fan question?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it is. Talk to them. You know, go to them and say, sort of discuss your problems, I think, is the answer here.
But how do you approach it without hurting their feelings?
What's the expression? Sugarcoat things.
Oh, okay.
If that's what you're worried about, sometimes being blunt.
Lie to them.
No, not lying.
Just make
deliver the
sound
truth in a nicer
way. Easier than
they
actually are.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
But you know, sometimes people respect. Well, actually, most times people respect if you're just blunt and honest, even if that hurts their feelings. Ultimately, they respect that.
Yeah, I suppose that's
right, Kyle.
It's not bad advice, actually. Here's another one. I will most likely soon be moving away from Goulburn. Any advice on how to cope with such a traumatic circumstance?
Oh yeah, I know that's so horrible. No, it'll be so much fun. Just sort of get out there, meet new people. You know, go new places, try new things. That's how you do it. You know,
you'll probably find it very easy since you're not in Goulburn. Sorry, Goulburn.
Yeah.
We are the voice,
the voice of Goulburn. Yeah,
you know, so you find out when you leave, it's just this whole other world out there. It's really quite cool.
It's somewhere beyond the mountains.
Yeah, it's exciting. And you know, like, I hate to say this, but Goulburn never changes, so you can always just go back.
If you want a bit of nostalgia, just come back.
Just come back. I guarantee, like, a lot of, you know, hopefully you'll stay in touch with all your friends and stuff who go away, but, you know, you'll come back and some people
will be your advice?
Doing the same thing still. But, yeah.
Keep in touch.
Keep in touch and also, you know, get involved in the new environment, you know, try new things, meet new people. Just get out there.
Okay, I've got
just
a few...
Just dive in. Just dive.
Yeah, I've got a few quick
I'm trying to avoid
dilemmas.
Saying that.
I've got a few quick
oh,
dilemmas
yeah.
here.
Oh, yeah, shoot me.
I wish.
Yeah.
You've made that joke made so that many joke times. Before.
I didn't have the badum tish ready. Would you rather be eaten by ants or a lion alive?
Oh, I think a lion, just because if they said, oh, he got eaten by a lion, that would sound way cooler than being eaten by
he
ants.
He got eaten by ants. He just laid down and let the ants
covered
eat.
Himself with honey.
I imagine Carl would bag me up for being eaten by ants, so I'm going to say I was eaten by a lion.
At least why
imagine,
would you care? You're
imagine,
dead.
Imagine me doing your eulogy. I'll just get up on the stage and go,
you're not doing my
he
eulogy.
He was a wuss.
Poor Matt was eaten by...
You're lucky if you even get an invite to my funeral, Carl.
You can't not invite someone to a funeral.
I'll have bouncers.
And he won't
like,
care
for this guy.
Because it's such a high-profile funeral. Yeah,
absolutely.
And he's arranging it before he dies. Yeah. Before I walk into this field of ants, arrange my...
Matt, I've already written your eulogy.
All right.
Oh, God.
He already knows you're going to be eaten by ants. Okay, would you rather be poor but well-endowed or rich and minute?
Be rich, pay for surgery.
Yeah, I think that's... Oh, that's a tough question, isn't it? I'm going to say rich and minute for the reason Carl said. If that is such
you can,
a big deal.
Oh, well, the ladies
buy
will be on your payroll
well,
anyway.
Well, I would have a winning personality. And isn't that isn't that what really matters anyway?
Well, yeah, well, I guess so. But you could be poor and have a winning personality and a winning endowment.
I guess it really doesn't matter then. Girls aren't that shallow, are they, guys?
Well, some girls.
Are they? Are they?
As you said yourself, girls are dumb. Sorry.
Say we're
quote, okay, unquote, now here's a tricky one. Okay. I was actually in a certain... that you may look at me with a funny face, but if forced to, would you rather kill your mother's baby or your best friend's baby if forced to?
I wouldn't kill anyone's baby.
No, you're forced. You have to kill one of them.
Okay, so my mother's baby, which is my brother, or
hopefully
my best friend's baby.
If it's your son, I'll be asking a few questions.
Well,
now, this actually relates to me, this a personal question from me, because I was actually put in a situation where I had to make that choice. Not really. It was a hypothetical situation. I'll go into it after you answer.
This is a hard one.
Would you kill my baby, Matt?
First of all, it's a bit of a stretch saying you're my best friend, Carl. Right. I'm sorry, best friend. I'm going to have to kill your baby.
How come? What made you decide
that? You
kill
your own brother? That'd be just... Well, maybe you could. You've met my brothers. No, they're really cool. They're cool. My brothers are cool. But, you know, family's always important. I wouldn't want to kill anyone. Any baby, particularly somebody.
But if you
I
were
know.
Forced to.
If I was forced to.
How would you force someone to do that?
I don't know. Put a knife in the middle of the room.
So
and
if you
and
made
the baby
a decision?
Say, one of you need to kill each other. Yeah, best friend's baby.
Why?
I told you.
Because you feel less attached family. Emotionally?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All right. Well, you see, the reason I bring this up...
Okay.
At university, for one of our...
You killed your best friend's baby.
No, at university, we were given... we were doing an acting shoot, like a little performance shoot. And one of the scenarios that I volunteered to do an improvisation, and I was taken out into the hallway, and two girls were taken out as well, and they told me...
And one cup.
No. They told the two girls, okay, you both have babies... And I was coming home to my house, and my mum had a baby, and the neighbor, the woman next door, had a baby. And they didn't know that the person who was giving them the situation told me that I have to kill one of the babies. So they didn't know this situation, and it's an improvisation. And so they don't know that, but I'm the only one, and the person who said the situation to me. And so I had to go into this room and totally act out a scene where I have to choose one of the babies to kill. And I ended up, contrary to Matty D, I ended up killing my mum's baby.
Why? Why?
Why? Because I thought that it'd be too selfish to... I think it's more selfless to kill part of your own family than a stranger's. Well, not really strangers, like someone who you're not related to. And your mother eventually is going to understand the situation. Because in the end, she still has you.
Yeah, yeah,
my family wouldn't understand
that. Rather than
that.
Killing a stranger. That's cool.
I don't think anyone in my family would... say, oh,
I know it's not a
really
hilarious
upset.
Situation, but I really was put in this situation, and you'd be surprised how many of the class burst into tears by the end of the improvisation.
I'm tearing up now.
there, we'll cheer you up shortly. But no, it was tough. I've got to say, it was one of the toughest things I had to do. And even though I wasn't actually doing it, even though I was actually not actually killing a baby, it was just a tough scenario to act out. And yeah, people started crying. And we had to have, like, a break because people were just too distraught. And I was like, geez.
It's just a bit of fun, guys.
Yeah. But yeah, it's tough.
I can't take
tough.
Kieran's acting.
It's too much.
No more, no more.
I thought it was my baby.
Alrighty, that was Lifestyles with Maddie D.
Yeah, that was fun.
Don't forget you can send in questions to Kyle. Kyle will be answering them next week, I take it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So they'll be a little less in quality.
Oh. I don't know. But yeah, we've got to thank Maddie D for filling in. And yeah, you can ask any question like lifestyle related to Kyle next week.
Let's just say there's a reason I'm doing it next week.
Yeah. Whew, that was quite an interesting one.
Yes.
And the voice that is coming out of your speakers right now is Kieran with Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, joined by Kyle and Maddie D.
Hey. Hey.
Hi.
Hi, guys.
I thought you might call.
Hey. How is it going?
Good,
we are
good.
Deep. We are almost 1 hour into the show this
already.
Evening.
Already.
We are
so
chuffing
fast.
Along. We are chugging yes. along like the little engine who could. Uphill like nothing else.
With a little yep. radio show that could.
Oh, definitely.
That little, yeah.
Definitely. Maddie D, you were talking about pear-shaped women.
Yeah. I guess I misinterpreted what pear-shaped meant because we looked at some images
on Google.
You just
thought it meant fat, didn't you?
No, not quite fat. Yeah, but a little bit. Not quite.
Not fat, but yeah.
I had this image. Well, basically you said, think of a pear with a person on it. So I did, and that looked kind of funny to me. But I actually do find pear-shaped women attractive. I just want to clarify that.
I'm glad we clarified that.
Just want to clarify that.
To all the pear-shaped women out there listening right now, Maddie D... loves you.
I
which
love
leads us straight women. Into our next segment, really
here
perfectly. Sip on that Chardonnay, ladies, because it's time for Love Tips. Not with Maddie D, but...
unfortunately.
Love Tips with me, Kieran, instead.
Unfortunately.
I don't know if I can offer the same romantic advice as Maddie D, but, you know, heck...
First question, you'll say, dive out! Dive out!
Abort! Abort! Whoa!
Yeah.
Planned Parenthood. Sorry. But yeah, I'm going to try my best to try and live up to Maddie D's high expectations.
Well, you taught me everything I knew, Kieran.
Oh.
That explains so much.
I'm blushing. I'm blushing.
All right. So
let's dive in.
I've got
shall we dive
rolling.
In?
Let's dive right in, shall we? Okay, so the first one. How do I approach and impress a woman? I'm 17, and I've never had a girlfriend. Wow. But I've finally started to man up and decided that I can do it ever since I lost weight and felt confident. And I know the number one rule, never look for a girlfriend. But my real question is...
just wait for them to come to you.
How do I approach a woman without feeling stupid, and how can I raise my confidence? Kieran?
Well, to be honest, I'm just trying to line up the music. It's hard to line up the music and talk at the same time. So this guy, he's feeling confident, he's 17, he's lost weight...
yep.
He's buffed up a little.
He's ready to get out.
And he's ready to hit the town and look for that lucky lady.
But not for a girlfriend.
Oh, wait, no. What?
Yeah.
Okay, no, hold on. He says he's
no,
not
no.
looking.
He says the number one rule is never look for a girlfriend because, you know.
Just look for a partner. Okay, he's already given advice out in asking for advice.
Yeah.
So that's already an interesting point to consider there. But what should he do, was the question?
Yeah, what should he do to impress a woman?
To impress a woman.
How do you impress a woman, Kieran?
Well, I hate to sound like a cliche, but you just really... the biggest mistake you can do is pretend to be somebody that you're not. If you go up to people and say, oh, hey, I have a radio show, when you're actually just a guest on that radio show, that's probably not the right way to go about it. But, no. But
who's that directed at?
No, it's not directed at anybody. It's just generalizing. Matty D. No, but, yeah, really, the biggest mistake you can make is pretending to be more, you know, offering more to the table than you can bring to the table. So you just have to be yourself. And that's all I can say.
Oh, that's nice.
If all else fails, just get the guns out.
Get the guns
and dive
out.
In.
And dive in.
Dive in. Okay.
Head first.
Second question. My wife is now in a relationship with a new younger man. That younger than her. She's 32, while he's 28. We've only been apart 3 months. She's been living with him for already a month, having sex.
Freddy months.
Having sex. Now she tells me that he's asked her to marry him, and she said yes. She only has known this guy for a few months. This sounds crazy. She has 3 teenage boys who are all my stepboys. Just has gone backwards, and she's having money problems. Her new man is a bartender, and she works as a cocktail waitress. They both do not make much money together. She wants a divorce already. She tells me he's perfect, treats her like a queen, respects her. The sex is amazing. I'm 45, very successful. She seems like she seems to be acting really crazy. She said only something, poorly spelt. Okay, she sent a message to the guy saying, "Wow, same to you. You have not grown a bit or learned..." What are you doing over there? "Or learned anything by this."
He's just writing rude things down on bits of paper.
"Oh, well. It is what it is. I deserve the best. You say one thing and then say the other. And now this is a fake... This is fake in my book. You want a divorce, then send me the papers. F you, etc., etc." So... That's the question.
Was that a question?
It's sort of what can he do in this situation?
Can you sum it up quickly for me and the audience, pretty please?
All right. I picked this question because it was a bit of a ramble and I thought it was funny. So he's got a wife.
Laughing at other people's misfortunes.
He's got
nice a Matt.
Yeah, you know, I'll take a leaf out of your book. the guy's writing the question. His wife has just gone with for a younger
and
woman,
she's just getting married
right now, and she's being very sort of mean to him and sort of saying
so she's had kids
blah blah blah. You haven't treated me well, and and I deserve the best, and rah rah rah. She has three teenage boys, and they're this guy's stepson.
So she had three teenage boys with this younger guy?
No. She had them already, and then before she met the main guy.
She's been with him 3 months.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yes. And I guess the question is sort of why is she going for somebody who's younger than him, but when he's so successful and better, like when she's not handling...
I take it that the guy asking the question is the successful one,
not the younger guy. He says he is. Because the other guy's a bartender and she's a cocktail waitress, so they're not making a lot of money.
Okay, advice time. Well, the main issue that we have here is that obviously the woman prefers the younger gentleman. She wants a young stud, and maybe this successful guy, maybe he can bring money to the table, but he's not bringing much else to the table, if you know what I mean by the sounds of it. She wants a young, sort of boisterous young man to take her through things, and... From the sound of it, this woman gets around, so she doesn't really sound like the kind of woman that...
Cocktail waitress.
It doesn't really sound like the kind of woman that you really... If you're a successful guy, you can do better than some floozy who's already had children, what, before she met you? Is that the deal?
Yeah, that's the deal.
Okay, so she's been in a relationship with children. Four children. You know, that's one more than average. With another guy... before you, and suddenly you're crying, "Oh, why did she leave me?" when she's already run off with some other dude.
Yeah.
Clearly, this is not the woman you want to be involved with. You can do better. If you're so successful, you can clearly do better. So forget about her. Forget her, and forget him too. As that guy in that silly song says. And that's really all I can say about that situation.
Very nice.
She's a floozy. Forget her.
Cool. Very well put. All right, I'm going to say this next question. As it reads.
Oh, God.
Why do my teacher... Sorry, let me say this again. Why do my teacher wants me to call her every time she gives me homework? Question mark, question mark, question mark. Why do she stare at me in the eye? In the eye. Kieran?
Well, there's no need to be racially insensitive, Matty D.
I'm not being racially insensitive.
He just can't read.
So it's really nice that you've asked that personal question, Matty D. You've actually taken the time to write it out.
I wrote it in crayon.
Okay, let's try and make sense of that nonsense, if that even was a question.
Yeah, that was a question. Basically saying his teacher wants him to call her for homework, and she always stares at him, and if this is something more than just a teacher-student relationship.
Well, from the...
Why do my Kieran play music?
From the grammar and spelling that I took from that question, I'm guessing you're about 10 years old, so no need to worry about romancing any teachers until you're at least 18. But seriously, if this person is older than I jokingly place their age, even still, it's against the law, so maybe you should... report this teacher if you feel uncomfortable about this relationship, or if not...
Well, maybe you should start paying attention in class and learn how to write.
Yeah, maybe she's really concerned about your well-being because you're, I don't know, 17 years old and can't put in prefixes or any other sort of grammar or spelling or punctuation. She just wants you to succeed and be the best person you are. And if it's anything more than that,
if it kills
don't go
her.
There. Don't go there because you don't want the police involved.
Yes.
Sound advice.
You could have used a dive right in there, but you know.
No.
Don't
clap the erasers together.
Yeah. I've got a couple more questions, but I think I'll move on to the Facebook questions.
Okay.
If I can remember them correctly, our friend Robbie sent in a question saying,
"Oh yes,"
saying I believe he's going to university soon, and he wanted some tips of how to mingle with the female populace down there.
I've seen this question, and he says, "Any personal stories or experiences?
Any personal stories or experiences
are most welcome." Okay, attracting ladies.
Just remember,
upon
this is
starting
community radio.
Yep. Upon starting university. Well, I don't know what Robbie is studying, but I think the first step is to...
He's studying how to be a lady killer.
Oh, of course.
At the University of Love.
Really, people say that it's all about personality and not what you're studying, but when it comes to university, people automatically class and have stereotypes for people studying certain things. Let's just say that if you're an accountant or, say, a games tech student, you may fare less with the ladies upon talking about your course than you would, say, something else, a sporting major. Or, I don't know, some sort of theatre or media course, he says, brushing back his hair. So what you're doing really impacts on what you're doing. Maybe not advertise that you're a games tech student. Say you're doing something else. Say you're a graphic designer. Ladies love people who can draw them naked. Heck, offer to, even if you're not a graphic designer. Personal story, I don't think we really have time to go into any of my personal stories, because they're all a bit long and maybe not appropriate for the time slot or radio station. Yes. So, sorry, Robbie. If I had a little bit more information, I could give you more tips. Anything more?
And, yes, the last question is from Ben, or Ravishing Richard.
Yep. Ravishing Richard, the intern who we had on last week.
Yes.
You can listen to that podcast. If you go onto the FM 103.3 Guess Who's Coming to Dinner Facebook group and like the page, you will have access to all our podcasts. And the last podcast, the Falling Out episode, has Ravishing Richard in it.
It is a Falling Out episode.
And he had a great...
I don't know about you guys, but I was fine last episode.
And he asks how if he really likes somebody and they are taken, or you can't be with them, how you would get over this person.
So the question is...
I'm sort of like summing it up.
You have the Facebook page in front of you. Why can't you just read the question?
The question, to paraphrase for Matty D, my friend likes somebody who is taken. What advice should I give them about how to get over the person? So they don't want to hook up. He doesn't want his friend to hook up. He wants this person to get beyond this person because they're clearly in a relationship. So the advice is... Well, what can I say? As Matty D always says, there's plenty other fish in the sea. Don't get your heart set on one person, but hey, you know, as if you remain their friend and support them throughout the current relationship without actually white-anting the relationship and, I don't know, stirring up trouble for their prospective partner and ruining their relationship, sit back, bide your time. Wait until the relationship goes on your rocks. On the rocks, sorry. Oh, who can take me seriously with all these stumbles? But really, people in young relationships, they never really last unless it's particularly good. I mean, I don't know, any real relationship unless it's particularly special for young people, especially teenagers that have lasted longer than a year most of the time. And if it does last longer than a year, then obviously if you haven't found anyone else in that time, then you've obviously got your heart set in the wrong place. But if you want to be with that person, stick around. Be their friend. Stay nice. The rebound relationship could be just around the corner. And that's my advice.
Very nice. Look at you. You're doing so well.
Oh, thank you.
And I believe you have some more advice for everyone.
Oh, do I?
You do. Yeah, you were talking about it before with me.
Oh, of course. How could I forget about...
Because everyone, we always have like a little like monologue, me and Carl.
Oh, yeah.
And even Richard.
I think we spiel a bit too much, yeah. And you don't really get a chance
really
to
get
say
chance.
Anything.
No. So
well,
here for the first time
we're
ever...
We're going to give it... Let you have it, Kieran.
Kieran's
going to
give some love advice.
Okay, I certainly am. Here we go. Some advice for everybody out there in Radioland. Thanks, Matt.
Hi, I'm Kieran, or as the ladies call me, Hey Uggo next to Maddie D. Although Maddie Delicious brings some pleasurable romantic advice, which logically encourages the diving right in approach, and Carl's advice equally beneficial with his chloroform approach, I've felt that I've been pushed into the background for way too long, to the point where I'm about to erupt with a load of sticky love tips, sticky because they all rely on each other. I've also felt that it is hard to take advice from two awesome sex symbols like Carl and Maddie D, so I felt it necessary to give, for the first time ever, a romance lesson for the mediocre man. I, Kieran, aim to give you a... aim to help you conning a slapper who thinks she is way out of your league. For the young lads who, for the young lads out there lavishing... This is very interesting how it's coming out of my mouth. For the young lads out there lavishing during... luring for the right lady, interesting wording, one important thing must be understood. Women aren't equal in intelligence to men. So approaching them with respect and understanding is a rookie mistake for a lot of newbies. First thing you do is pick out the object of your affection. The lower their self-esteem should heighten their chance of consideration. Once you've picked out your prime meat from the menu, gain her attention by clicking your fingers and exclaiming, "Women, get here!" Then you get her attention, offer to buy her a drink, showing you're a man who knows how to look after a girl. My advice is to buy her one drink to your five. Once you've shown her your dominance, lead her to a secluded spot where you can show her your sensitive side. Recite a poem about how beautiful she is and how she is the most incredible woman you have ever met. If you cannot lie that convincingly on the spot, get a pre-written poem from one of those illiterate loners on the internet. No one cares what they have to say anyway, unless they're a hipster, in which case considered, this is a bullet dodged. After you've seasoned your meat, it would be like... it'll be on like an obscure 80s reference, and you'll be thanking me once, twice, or three times over. And I've run out of music. And if it is not always one for the files, if you know what I mean... Or if not, it is always one for the files, if you know what I mean. This is going great. So even if you can't decipher Maddie D's ramblings or mine at the moment, as he struggles to understand the question, or plain just don't trust Kyle, always know that your man is in the wings. The K-Ran always has your back. And if you're one of our female dinner guests, I may have a bit more than your bank. Back, wink wink. So hopefully you'll follow my advice into 2013. After all, you can't find romance by being a clown. This has been Kieran, telling you always to pull and pray. And punctuate sentences, because it makes things hard to read. Yep, I always have advice for everybody.
That was remarkable, thank you.
That was really good.
I'm enlightened.
Yeah, I think we all are after that. This mess that you're listening to is Guess Who's Coming to Dinner with Kieran, Carl and Maddie D.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And it really is a mess.
We totally came out of nowhere there.
I think this is a good show.
What are you talking about?
I like this show.
Why did you say it in that voice, though?
I was thinking of Neil from Family Guy.
Why?
He's been talking like that all through the break.
How come?
It's my new favourite voice.
Yeah, how come,
you know what, Carl? I just realised? I spelt my own name wrong. Well, it's not really my name. It's McSteamy, but I didn't put an A in.
Okay. And what would that be that you wrote it wrong on?
Paper.
Which I think you'll find that it's challenge time.
Just going to fix that typo up.
Yes, it's that time of the week where we challenge one another to, I don't know, rounds of trivia, I guess it usually is. Mm-hmm. And I just want to point out that if you're a fan of us on Facebook, the Guess Who's Coming to Dinner FM 103.3 page on Facebook, by simply liking the page, you can challenge us, or specifically Maddie D, to any challenge you like.
I love specifically
We once dressed up as hipsters for an entire week, or attempted to in my case.
We don't talk about that.
And in the old show, Midnight Express, we
had a Nathan's Coon race.
We did all kinds of things.
I or attempted opera. To.
And Maddie D sang opera. But right now, we're going to do our weekly challenge in studio. But don't forget, you can challenge us. All right, shall we get straight into it?
All right.
Last week, I hosted the trivia and Carl won. Mm-hmm. And it was 80s movie trivia, I believe. Mm. And now we can have Carl.
And now it's my trivia. And
you said we had to say ding or dong.
Yes, yeah, so I'm going to need
I'm
going to
say ding.
You guys are going to need buzzers for this round.
Okay. So it's a lightning round, is it?
Kind of. You could say that. I couldn't... I've been thinking long and hard.
Nice jumper you're wearing, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Matt wins. Ugh. And that's the end of trivia for this week.
Hey!
not really. Well, I was thinking long and hard all week.
Oh, yeah, you were, weren't you?
Struggling.
Can we get there today?
Of what should I ask you guys? And I thought, I think it's time for you guys to go back to school. It's been a while.
Oh, God.
And so today...
It's the reason I left.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be class with Mr. McStevie.
Ooh.
Oh, jeez.
And you guys ready to get started? Back to school?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Here we go. Question one. Remember to use your buzzers.
Yeah.
Question one. Spell the word what?
Dong. W-H-A-T.
Matt!
Okay, you have to say who answered first so we can actually answer the question, genius.
Maybe you should go back to school, Kyle.
That's minus one.
Go back to trivia school, genius.
Question two. What is 7 minus 3?
Ding.
Kieran.
4.
Correct.
Yay.
Question three.
Maybe I should get the ding ready.
The chemical term for water is...
Dong. Yes. H2O.
Correct, Matt.
You got to say who, not just yes, because no one else can see who you're looking at.
Okay,
it's not
right,
TV.
All right.
It's radio.
All right. Question four. What does a comma signal?
Dong.
Kieran.
A break or a pause in the sentence?
Yes, correct.
Or a change of subject? Or a list?
Question five. Define the word cryptic.
Ding. Dong.
Kieran.
Can Matty D answer instead?
You don't know, do you? It sort of means when something's coded, right? Something's coded to mean another thing.
Well, that's closer than Kieran's answer, so yes, Matt.
Didn't know we were going unspecific.
What would you say is the definition?
Don't ask questions of the teacher.
Well, I'm just asking for the benefit of the listeners.
Hidden meanings.
Oh, okay. Well, I said the basically the same thing.
Question six. What is bracket 20 minus 5 bracket times 2 equal?
Matty D?
Window.
Come on, you guys.
What was the question?
Hold a second.
Okay, bracket.
Hold a second.
Two brackets. 20 minus 5 is in
brackets.
That's not
fair. He's using a calculator.
Then times 2 equals what?
20 minus 5 times 2?
Yes.
Okay, 30.
Correct. Kieran, you didn't even ding, but you got that.
Well, Matty D was using a calculator, so
question
I thought I'd throw
seven. It in. Spell the word subterranean.
Ding. Dong.
Kieran.
S-U-B-T-E-R-A-I-N.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's two R's, isn't it?
Matt, you want to give it a try?
Subterranean. S-U-B-T-E-R.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
R.
Mm-hmm.
A.
Yes.
I.
Neither of you get that one. Okay. Question eight. What are the five vowels?
Ding. Ding.
Kieran.
A-E-I-O-U.
It's not even... Yes, you got it.
It's your dong, Matty D.
All right. Great. Question nine.
There are six vowels.
What six-letter word contains no vowels?
Oh, jeez.
No.
How about a hint?
It's to do with music.
Wow.
Can you hold a...
Ding note?
That has
heaps of vowels.
That has an
O and an E. Yeah.
All right. Obviously, neither
and
of
it's
you
not six letters.
Ding tune. No, that has two as well.
What? Are you
ding,
kidding me?
I think you
come
should
on, it's a six-letter word.
The vowel answers to me. Because he
starts with an R, guys.
Oh, ding.
Yes.
Rhyme.
Oh, my God.
Ding. Rhythm.
But R.
Yes, Kieran, you get it.
Come on, that is not fair. He had, like, heaps of
you
guesses.
You should have said dong.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Next. Define communism.
Ding. Dong.
Yes, Matt.
Can I give two answers to this?
If you wish.
Total and utter trash being the first one.
Okay.
And and it's a time when the state controls the economy mm-hmm. of a country.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just distributed equally among the people.
Congratulations. You've been paying attention in Mr. McSteamy's history class.
Well, I do a lot of philosophy, so I should.
All right. Mm. Next, bracket. 10 times 5 bracket minus 2.
Ding. Ding!
48.
Yes, Kieran, since that's actually your buzzer.
Yeah, dong, Matty D.
Come on.
All right. Next. And I love this one. Spell the word anti-disestablishmentarianism.
Spell what?
Anti-disestablishmentarianism.
So you got to spell it.
Anti-disestablishmentarianism.
So you've got to spell that.
Yes.
Okay, can
dong.
I...
Yes, okay. Matt.
T-H-A-T. I spelled that.
Can I give it a go?
Yes, you can if you want.
I'm probably not going to get it right.
Okay.
I'm going to go A-N-T-I.
Yep.
D-I-S.
So far, so good.
E-S-T.
Mm-hmm.
A-B.
Come on, I believe in you.
L-I-S.
Yep.
Oh, you got to be kidding.
M-E-N-T. Oh.
There's an H after the S.
Damn.
So no one gets that
Oops,
one.
Sorry.
All right. Next question. What question number are we up to?
Ding.
Matty D?
Yes, Matt?
That was a... What question number are we up to? 8?
I want to say 10.
I'm going to say no to both of you. We're up to 13.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
How unlucky.
All right. Question 14. Say red leather, yellow leather 5 times fast.
Dong.
Yes.
Red leather, yellow leather, red leather, yellow leather, red leather, yellow leather.
You want to give it a try?
Red Kieran? Leather, yellow leather. Yeah, no.
Wrong. Dong, dong.
Yes, Matt. You want
red
to try
leather,
again?
Red leather, yellow leather, red, yellow.
I said
leather.
Fast.
And that you was slow. You didn't say fast.
Can we just say that we both fast? All right, neither of you get that one. And question 15, the last question. What color was my infamous button-up?
Dong.
Kit?
It was pink.
It was purple.
You're absolutely right, Matt.
Oh, how
pink.
Did I know that?
It was pink. Unfortunately for you, Kieran still wins by 1 point.
Woo! Are you kidding?
That means I get the challenge next week.
It was more like see who can buzz faster.
Or say the right buzzer
or
noise.
Say the right buzzer
noise. That was a mess. I can't believe how silly we are. But, yeah, anyway, I'll be back next week with the challenge. And I guess Manny D, judging from the running order so far, Manny D will be the winner next week.
We'll see.
So I'll aim the questions at him.
Our listeners are just going to think it's rigged.
Yeah, it sounds like
probably.
Rigged.
Yeah.
But don't forget, you can challenge us to anything. Or you can maybe even send in some challenge questions if you like. Or an idea for a topic on the Facebook group. Guess Who's Coming to Dinner? 103.3 FM.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty.
That was good. I've been working on those all week.
I'm so glad you did.
Oh, yeah, you certainly didn't do it in the break before.
Speaking of...
What's question number are we up to? That's just plain lazy.
Well, you speaking guys were lazy because you couldn't tell which one we were up to. Yeah. 8 and 10?
Well, I wasn't counting. I was concentrating so hard going, yeah, oh my
God. It was
God.
A trick question. That's that seemed why, to be your that's job. Why I stopped saying numbers and started saying next, next.
Well, you see, I remember the last number you said was 8, so I was like, we've got to be at 10. Alright, so usually we do horoscopes right now.
But, unfortunately, Kyle McStarlight is sick.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Oh,
I think
dear.
Him and Patricia what Stormy a, have something going on in the office.
What a unfortunate tragedy.
Yeah, something must be going
around. You know
around.
What? Mm-hmm. When these things happen, we have to fill in the time. Fortunately, I have an emergency joke prepared.
Here we go.
For this situation.
Here we go.
One of my least favourite things in the world is auto-tune.
Mm-hmm.
You can't turn on the radio, you can't turn on a top 40 countdown radio station at the moment and not hear auto-tune. It is a common occurrence. If you want to hear auto-tune, just listen to any of Kesha's songs,
yeah.
Lady Gaga's songs.
Rebecca Black.
Or Rebecca Black if you really want to torture yourself. But you'd be surprised. It's not a recent phenomenon that people have been using auto-tune. People have been using auto-tune as far back as the 70s.
Okay.
You don't believe me? I have some examples here. Well, Celine Dion. You think, okay, Celine Dion, she has some pretty good music. For example, her main hit.
I feel like holding you over a boat. Okay.
Yep.
Which one of us do you want to hold over a boat?
Okay.
Thank you.
I might drop you though.
So yes, that was a big popular hit. Lots of musical talent there. Do you want to know what she sounds like without auto-tune? Oh. That was actually auto-tune you were hearing there.
Really? What does she sound like without?
Me, far, wherever you are.
Oh, dear.
Can you hear me in my heart?
Strange, this voice sounds hauntingly familiar.
My heart will go on, man.
Where are you getting this from?
No, this is real stuff. All right, you're thinking, okay, that was 90s, you know. Titanic came out in the early 90s, so, you know, they could have had auto-tune back then. No, 70s, the Bee Gees themselves.
All right.
You may remember this hit. Of course you remember that famous hit. It was even covered by The Steps. At some point in the late 90s, if you remember.
Mm-hmm.
But I suppose you want to know what they sound like without auto-tune.
Yeah, oh, right. Yes, so
let's
much.
See it.
All right. Okay, we've heard a lot of examples of...
It's like Alvin and the Chipmunks on some illicit substance.
Yeah, we've heard a lot of examples. And one of my least favourite bands of all time, I love any chance to bag them out, good old Nickelback.
Oh, you love Nickelback.
Here we go.
Oh, here we go. Nickelback, as much as this pains me...
Don't you dare play Nickelback on this station.
Look at this photograph. This is Nickelback. Really ducked it up.
Oh God, it's worse through headphones.
Yeah, okay, so that was Nickelback without auto-tune.
I imagine it wouldn't change so much, would it?
Well...
Oh,
live from the studios recording Nickelback. Hold on. I've made a mistake. I've played the same track twice.
Oh, that was great.
Wasn't that worth that?
Huh?
See, this is what happens when we go into the emergency jokes. Everybody gets hurt.
No, don't blame
you. Need to prepare
McStarlight
your. You need to prepare your horoscopes next time,
Kyle McStarlight.
So I think that'll teach Kyle to actually put his nose down, head down, go back to radio school, and actually prepare stuff before we go on air. All the three of us together in 8-bit world make
the good,
the bad,
and the power up. That's right. Earlier on, I teased in the show. What was it? I was following transvestites around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
dressed as a sex offender.
I should probably follow those up.
I had
to
bump into a transvestite sex offender also, carrying around a mirror.
That was Kyle.
That was Kyle.
I didn't even have the badum tish.
Or did you just explore around Goulburn and run into someone?
Yeah. That's it.
Okay, but anyway, did we all go our separate ways this weekend?
Yeah. No, I came to this party.
Okay, you.
Kyle went to.
You and Kyle went to a party, dress up party.
Do you know what I dressed as?
What did you dress
Something
as?
Something very scary.
So you were dressing up for Friday the 13th.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So it was horror themed. Mm-hmm. I don't want to freak a lot of the people out. So if
this
you've got
very
young,
scary.
If you've got young children,
block
put them
barriers.
To bed. I had a sign on me, me and my signs that said, "Hello, my name is Commitment."
Spelt with two T's.
So I came as Commitment.
Oh, nice.
It's very scary.
Ironic that you, Matty D, should come as Commitment. Sorry.
The love guru himself.
Yeah.
What a champ. And you, Kyle, please explain why you dressed as a sex offender.
He was just being himself.
I didn't even dress up. It was horror themed. And I thought I'd stick with the hipster notion and go with something that no one would know about unless they speak to me, because I never shut up about the movie. I went as Parvi from Repo.
Uh-huh. And could you explain that to people who haven't seen it?
He's an effeminate narcissist sex offender who wears women's faces and carries a mirror everywhere.
You say that with such pride.
I do.
So kind of like a sexy Ed Gein.
Kind of, yeah, actually.
There you go. I spent my weekend on Oxford Street, which I'd never been to before. Well, at least not to the clubs there anyway.
Uh-huh, sure.
And yeah, it's true. Aside from looking at very interesting clubs with pink triangles outside with women with Adam's apples standing out in front smoking cigarettes, I went to the hipster nerve of Australia, I reckon.
The Oxford Arts Factory.
Oh, no, true. I went to the Oxford Arts Factory. And let me tell you, the room there, I wasn't on the main dance floor. I wasn't in the main room because that was very shut off. You had to buy tickets 2 weeks in advance for $1 million each to see some DJ that no one's ever heard of. Well, hipsters have heard of, spin a new record that will be on the radio in 2 weeks. But I was in the sort of like the casual everybody lounge, free entry lounge. Let me just say, hipster central. There was hipster wherever one may look.
And did you learn how to sort of like
dance like a hipster?
Assimilate into hipsterness by dressing up for a week?
So hanging around so many hipsters, do you reckon with the little competition that we held up to the barrel kind of thing?
Like, I think we were pretty over the top for hipsters, really? if I could be perfectly honest.
We were just stereotyping hipsters.
Oh. How dare we?
Oh, God.
They're the anti-stereotypes of the world.
Absolutely.
But you see, the thing is, I realised something when I was there.
What did you realise?
I was talking to Kyle about this before. We bag out hipsters all the time.
Yep.
The thing is,
Kyle's a hipster?
No.
I'm not a hipster.
No, we can address that later. But the thing is, we haven't considered lady hipsters. I don't mean to be sexist on the show, but I have to say, there were many hipster there, but I've never realised before, but the lady hipster is generally quite attractive.
I've met lady hipsters.
Yeah, I know. And what's your verdict?
My verdict on lady hipsters being attractive? Well, they can be. It just depends on the lady who's being a hipster.
I don't think I've ever met a lady hipster.
Well, let me tell you, there was many a lady hipster here.
To Oxford Street, gentlemen.
They usually wear the same sort of thing as male hipsters, really.
I think it's the whole idea of hipsters being effeminate and more fashion conscious. If you're a woman, you can maybe get away with it a little bit more, having an alternate taste in music, because, you know, I don't know, guys are usually stereotyped into liking particular types of music.
And football.
Football.
And beer.
And
breasts.
And wood.
Wood.
And wood.
And trucks. And don't tell the wife, the missus. Okay, that was a bit obscure. But anyway, I had a good time on Oxford Street. I take it you had a good time as a sex offender? I mean, dressed as a sex offender?
Dressed as a sex offender.
Acting
of course.
As a sex offender.
Yeah, this time.
And Matt, you had a good time.
I had
experience
fun too.
Commitment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I had fun.
What did commitment look like?
I told you.
Misspelled.
I had a sign. That was my costume.
A misspelled sign.
It was ingenious. I seem to like signs.
C-O-M-M-I-T-T.
That's your big PITT. If only you had FM 103.3 written underneath the commitment.
Maybe.
And you went around with
it. I
said, listen
said
to our
that.
Show.
I believe someone said that to me afterwards. They were like, you should have put the name of your radio show. But all those guys knew about our radio show anyway.
Mm-hmm.